Thanks for listening to audio from North Monroe. To learn more about who we are, visit northmonroe.com or download the North Monroe app in the App Store or on Google Play. Now, here's this week's message.
It's an awesome weekend, man. I tell you what, if you're worried about... I'm going to kick Corey's chains out of the way. By the way, if Corey came out kind of weird, I was supposed to introduce Corey, but I stand out there watching baptistries and totally forgot about it. So Corey comes with... And Corey, I kind of cut everything down, so this may be quick today. I've never seen Corey be so brief. So you got to give it to him, huh? I told him, I said, now, Corey, don't hurry, but hurry, okay? If you're worried about the future, you can rest at ease that God is at work in the lives of men. And we see that in these men's retreats. And it lifts my heart, lifts my spirit to see what God is doing, the honesty and the authenticity and all of those things that are so essential. You know, as I'm listening to the guys talk, I'm kind of in and out. And, you know, one of the cool things is that as a pastor, I just get to enjoy what you guys do. And so I just get to kind of watch and listen. And I'm in and out listening. And one of the things I keep hearing from the men is they're lonely and they feel isolated. They've got families, they've got wives, they love their wives, they love their kids, they love all that. But there's a sense of isolation in a lot of men. And the verse that I kept hearing was Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And what you hear is the need for men to be with men. But then I heard one guy say it, and I don't know who said it, but it was awesome. He said, iron sharpens iron, but iron doesn't sharpen itself. And I said, whoa, that's good. Let me write that down. Iron doesn't sharpen itself. What that means is we need each other. I need to rub steel with somebody that's going to keep an edge on me so that I can always be ready and useful to the king when he calls me into his service. And we forget that and we start thinking that this thing's a solitary walk. It's not a solitary walk. We have to stay together. And here's what's happened over the past year. Man, COVID has just pulled us apart and it's pulled churches apart. It's ripped communities apart and people have been forced into isolation. And I get that. We need to do that. We got to stay safe. We got to stay healthy. I get all that. But Satan would love nothing more than for you to stay in that and live in that and believe the lie that you were meant for isolation when the exact opposite is true. And we've got to realize the power of community. And so what I wanted to do was kind of pick up some things that you already know, kind of lift them out, reinforce. You know, Paul said, sometimes I stir up by way of reminder. And I wanted to remind you of some things you probably already know about community and belonging. For the next few weeks, I want to do a kind of a little sermon series on Better Back Together. Because we are better back together. We need each other. We were made for each other. And so I want to remind us of that because it becomes so visible in retreat weekends and in men's retreat weekends. The hunger that we have for one another and the need to belong to one another. And it really comes back to community and belonging. And so for the next few weeks, I want to lift out some important principles. And one of them is this. We're better back together because we remind each other of what our purpose is. It's so easy to forget your purpose, especially when you live in isolation, especially when everything in your world is saying to you, it's all about you, it's all about yourself, serve yourself, meet your needs, you deserve it. And so let's back up, let's walk through some basic principles to remember what we're called to do. Pull out your sermon notes. If you picked them up at the door, if you don't, they're online in the app. Pull up your app or whatever. But here's the first thing. Church is a we, not a me. It's a we, not a me. God never called us to me. He called us to we. The church is an assembly. I don't know if you knew that, but when you're reading the Bible, every time you see that word church in the Bible, that's not the word that the New Testament first century called itself. It never called itself a church, not a single time. That word that's translated church is ecclesia or ecclesia. And it didn't mean church like what you see, like this is the church. It meant the assembly. The word was ecclesia, to be called out, the called out ones. And ultimately it came to mean the gathered together one, the assembly. You know, I hate to say this, Baptist, but the assembly of God got it right. Don't tell them, okay? But we're the assembly. We're the congregation of Christ. You say, well, why do we call it church? Well, that's a corruption of a German word. What happened was Christianity became so popular in ancient Roman period that eventually one of the emperors made it the official religion of Rome. And they replaced these house churches and these small congregational things with these massive basilicas. And a century or so later, when the Germans invaded the Roman world and they came across these massive gathering rooms called basilicas, they said, what is that? And the Latin term for Lord is Kirch or Kurios. And so the Germanic corruption of that was Kirch, which came to mean the house of God. And the idea was that building was the house of God. And we've kind of bought into that ever since, thinking that the church is a building. But listen, the church isn't the building. The church is not the house of God. You're the house of God, which means you don't go to church. You're already there. Wherever you are, the church is already there. Wherever you don't go to visit God at his house, as if you could do that. Wherever you go, God's already there, and you brought him with you. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You're the temple. And assembling is a critical part of being the church. Romans 12, verse 5. Christ makes us one body. You got that? And individuals who are connected to each other. That's why we need each other. You're a hand. I'm a foot. He's a head. That guy's an eyeball. That's an ear. You know, here's the thing you got to realize. None of us are complete in ourselves. I'm incomplete without you. I mean, I can do what a hand does or a foot does, but I need an arm. The hand needs an arm. The arm needs a shoulder. The shoulder needs a torso. We got to have all of that stuff for us to function. So we're always incomplete. Every one of you is better than me in some way. And I depend on you for that. I need you for that. And so collectively, we represent Jesus to the world. Yeah, I'm called individually to represent Jesus. I get that. I'm Jesus to the people in my life, and I get that. But for me to be a complete portrayal of the body of Christ, it's essential that we do it in assembly. We do it together. Faith was never meant to be done in isolation. Let me give you three words that may help, okay? And these are Greek words, and I don't mean to sound like a Greek lesson today. That's the last thing you want after not sleeping for 3 days is a Greek lesson, right? But let me give you three Greek words. Synathlontes, that's the first one. Here's where it's used, Philippians 1:27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind. Here's the word, striving together, synathlontes, for the faith of the gospel. Synathlontes, take out the prefix synathlontes. What are you hearing? Athletics. And that's the exact meaning of it. It's to compete in an athletic competition. But that word soon, it means together with. If you hear the word symphony, that's two words, symphonos, soon, together sound, phonos, together phonics, sounds that are built in harmony. All these different instruments playing a different part of the score, but all playing on the same score. That's symphony. Sympathy is another word. You know, sin, together with pathos, feeling. So I feel with you. I feel what you feel. What he's saying here is sin athletics. In other words, we compete together. What are you hearing? So you guys are coaches, some of y'all. What are you hearing? You're hearing teamwork. Christianity is a team sport. It's never meant to be done alone. Here's a second word, synergon. The word ergon meant work, and sin, again, means together. Here's where it's used, 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we lord it over your faith, but you are worker, but are workers with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm. Workers with you. Got that? Workers is actually workers together with you. And you see all the time when Paul's talking about his fellow workers, he calls them my fellow workers, my workers together. Timothy is my fellow worker in the gospel. Titus is my fellow worker. Philemon, all those guys, they're my fellow workers. You got it? And that's what we do. We work together. We're better together because you have skills that I don't have. You have insights I don't have. You've got ideas that I never had, and you have influence that I'll never have. Here's a third world, sumsuke. Again, that prefix, sim, means with. But you know what that suke, where are you hearing? What are you hearing? Psyche, psychology, that's where the word comes from. It means mind or soul, of one soul. And here's where it's used, Philippians 2, verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. And if we want to be the church, we have to do it with the same mind. Now, Satan loves to divide the church. It's hard to keep up with all the labels that we wear. I wish that, you know, Satan's got a label maker and he just loves to make labels so we can stick them on and that's who I am. You know, there are 18 different varieties of Baptists in America, denominations, 18 different ones. There's American Baptist, Southern Baptist, Two Seed in the Spirit, Predestinarian Baptist. I'm not making this up. There's regular Baptist, particular Baptist, general Baptist. You got all kinds. Missionary Baptist, Baptist World Alliance Baptist. You know, what in the world? It's in one mind. There's this beautiful verse in 1 Samuel 18, 1, where he's describing the relationship between David and Jonathan. You know, David was the heir apparent. God had anointed him. Saul was the king. Jonathan was his son. But they had this special bond. And the word, they said, the soul of David was knit to the soul of Jonathan. It doesn't say stitched. It doesn't say glued. It says knit. There's a knitting there. And that's what's happened to you guys this weekend. That's the power of this kind of retreat ministry, but it ought to be the power of the whole church in life groups. Our souls are knitted together so that we have one mind, one spirit, intent on one purpose. And I need you to remind me of that because I forget it. Take all that together and you combine it with everything else and you see that church is not a solitary activity. I think we need to remember that because we've been studying world religions on Wednesday nights. You got all the great isms. You got Buddhism, Shintoism, Taoism, Confucianism. You got all these isms. And one of the things that they all have in common is they're all about a solitary thing. I got to get on top of a mountain. I got to get under a tree. I got to get by a river. And I got to empty my mind of everything else so that I can find my peace of nirvana. And that really plays into the psychology of the American existential narcissism and the whole New Age thing of me getting alone, you know, putting on my yoga pants. Not me. I don't wear yoga pants. But getting alone in your own little world, in your own little bubble, and finding your little piece of nirvana. Peace. You take that out of California and you bring it over to the bayou, and we've got the same thing going on. I can't tell you how many times guys will say, You know, preacher, I love Jesus, but I don't need the church. Man, I'm never closer to God than when I'm on my deer stand. Ever hear that? I'm never closer to God than when I'm on the front of my bass boat. And I get it, you know. I get it. There are times for solitude. And I don't think that you can be a deep follower of Christ without moments of solitude. Jesus had moments of solitude. He would pull away from everybody and he would be with the Father even though he was already intimate with the Father. And we need that. But we don't live in it. There are so many things that you cannot do by yourself that you're called to do in the gospel. And so we need each other to do that. And I need you to remind me of that and to call me back to that. Look, if you can only practice your faith in isolation, then what you're doing isn't Christianity. Here's the pattern that I see happening. People will stop attending. Then their passion for Christ fades. And when their passion fades, they lose their purpose. And then sin increases. And then their theology changes. Because a man's morality will always dictate his theology. I have to accommodate my sin, so I have to change my understanding of God. And all of that happens because of that infectious idea that I was meant for isolation. Me being with you reminds me of what's important, and you call me back to those important things. You don't let me live in that sin. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. You know, one of the power that I've seen all weekend is guys are getting honest about their sin, and they're confessing their sin to each other, and they find out that that's not only okay, but it's healthy. Because they realize there's only one place for sin, and that's at the feet of Jesus. And that I can't by any means save myself, but Jesus can do what I could never do. And so I need you to remind me where I need to take my sins. I don't need to change my God. I need God to change my life. And that's what we forget, because isolation convinces us of that. And so we're better together because you remind me of those things. It's not a me, it's a we. Second thing is, the mission is them, not it. Let me walk through this quickly. We tend to turn faith into an object when we replace His purpose with our buildings, right? I know a lot of churches that worship the building where they were supposed to worship God. And it's easy to do that, because here's what happens. Jacob did this. You know, Jacob is running from his brother, and he comes to this place, this isolated, barren place. And at that night, he has a vision, and he sees a ladder to heaven, and angels are ascending and descending. And when he wakes up in the morning, he says, this is surely where God lives. I'm going to call this place Bethel, which means the house of God. And that's what we do. We come to a building like this, and we experience God. We meet God. One of the big concerns was, would God show up at North Monroe instead of Seeker Springs? Come to find out, He's everywhere. Right? But we come to a place like this, and we experience God, and we experience the power of community and worship and all those things. We get baptized here. We go to vacation Bible school. We grow up. We go to youth group. We fall in love. We get married and all those things. And it must be that that's God's building. And that must be where God is. So I've got to go there to find Him. And before long, you begin to worship the building. And when you worship the building, faith dies. And I know a lot of churches right now, man, they're more concerned with, they don't want visitors who are going to mess up their carpet. You know, they got to keep everything. That I know churches that will run a pastor off if he moves the flower arrangement. Who cares? It's a tool. They got cathedrals all over Europe that are stone cold dead and empty. They're museum pieces. You can walk through and visit them. There's nobody there because they worship the building. They turned them into an it. But look, it's not just buildings that do that to us. I mean, I get it. This is where we come to worship, but this isn't His house. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 6. But who is able to build a house for Him? For the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain Him. So who am I that I should build a house for Him except to burn incense before Him? Isaiah 66, verse 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declared the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. God doesn't fit in our buildings. And when churches serve their buildings, they forget their purpose. Here's another way. When you turn faith into an object, when you replace His purpose for your agenda, you turn it into an it. Have you ever been in one of those situations where someone was trying to do something nice for others, but they got so consumed with the planning and programming that by the time it was over, everyone hated everyone else? They have a word for that. It's called a wedding. I'm just kidding, ladies. I don't want any emails, okay? It was a joke. It was a bad joke, but it happens. I'm telling you, it happens. You meant for it to be. It may not be a wedding. It may be Christmas. You have this idea of what Christmas is going to be. You do all the planning and everything, and it doesn't fit your plans, and so you just get madder and madder, and everybody's mad at everybody. Nobody can wait to get home. Disney World. The Magic Kingdom. I remember begging my kids to get out of the hotel swimming pool. We got to go back in there. We paid all this money. We're going back to the happiest place on earth. right? And churches do that. Churches do it. We set our agenda, we make our traditions, we establish our priorities, and when you don't fit our priorities, get out. And you start out with the best of intentions, and you forget your purpose. This is why being together is so important. We remind each other what's important. What's our purpose? Here's our purpose, okay? Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's it. That's our purpose. Love God and love people. But how many times has the church done the exact opposite? And we put our agenda over our purpose. I mean, isn't that what the Puritans did? I mean, the Puritans, they had a noble idea. They wanted to purify the church. But before it was over, they were putting scarlet letters on women and putting people in stocks and burning witches. Isn't that what happened with the woman caught in adultery? I mean, every single one of those guys that were dragging that woman before Jesus were 100% convinced that they were doing the right thing. Every one of them. But not a single one of them loved that woman. And listen, church, when we try to do the right thing without love, we've always done the wrong thing. And we need each other to remind us of that, to call us back from that, to dial back the rhetoric, to replace it with the love of Jesus Christ and speaking truth in love, helping people, caring about people, investing people. And you remind me of that. You remind me not to let the agenda hijack his purpose. I can't do that alone. Here's the last thing. This organization is his, not mine. Who does this church belong to? It's not my church. Is it your church? Now, we say that, don't we? And I get it. What's your church? My church is North Monroe. I get that. That's my church. It's my church. But look, this church doesn't belong to me. Here's the deal. It's my church because it's my family, and I belong to that family. So where's my family? North Monroe's my family. I belong to the church, but the church doesn't belong to me. Some people will say, that's Bill Dye's church or that's Bill's church. No, it's not. I don't own any part of this church. None of this is mine. It doesn't belong to me. This is God's church. See, here's the problem. If I think this church is mine, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to expect the church to serve me, right? If this is my church, then church, you need to do what I need. And that's the attitude that we bring to it. I get it all the time. I just didn't get much out of that today. And I'm like, I'll try better next week, you know. What'd you bring to it? Did you bring anything to it? It's just not meeting my needs, you know. I mean, people do that. They make that little, don't they? Hey, can we be honest? Well, is it about you? Is that the deal? Is it your church? I belong to the church. The church doesn't belong to me, right? One of our guys ran into a family that they hadn't seen because of quarantine and COVID and everything. It's been about a year. Hey, man, we missed y'all. When are y'all coming back? And they were brutally honest. They said, we're not coming back. And he was kind of taken aback. He goes, you're not coming back? And they go, no, we're not coming back. Why? And here's what they said. We realized we just didn't miss it. We realized we just didn't miss it. That just broke my heart. Because it made me wonder, have I not been clear? I mean, am I not communicating this clearly? It's not about you. I mean, what about Jesus? What about faith? What about your relationship to God and His purpose for your life? Hey, I just don't miss it. What does that mean? So they're done with faith. Church didn't serve my agenda. Look, the church isn't here to serve our agenda. We're here to serve Christ's agenda. And His agenda is crystal clear. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Those aren't my words. Those are His words. We're the only organization in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. He wants me to live with you to serve Him. You got it? Y'all hear a little baby crying? There's no more beautiful sound in the world than a little baby in church. That means a mom and daddy are in church, right? But don't miss that point. He wants me to live with you to serve Him. And I can't do that alone. Iron sharpens iron, man. This is where we come to rub steel. But iron doesn't sharpen itself. It can't sharpen itself. And so we're better together, and we have to stay together, and we have to stick together, and we do battle together, and we love together, and we live together, and we cry together, and we hurt together, and together we serve God's purpose for our lives. And every time we come together, you help me remember that. And I hope I'm helping you remember it right now. That God's got more for you, and He wants to use you. But you know, to get there, you got to start with that relationship. You know, I'm almost tempted to put a bell up in here. Some of you need to ring that bell. You need to give Him your whole life and say, you know, I've been doing this thing as if I was in the audience. Come to find out, Christianity is a team sport. You're not doing it unless you're on the field. And you got to make a whole commitment to get there. And if you've never done that, you're like, I don't really know what the words. That's what the bell was all about. You don't have to know certain words. You just say, God, all that I understand about me, I just surrender right now. All that I understand about you. I'm giving you my past. I'm giving you my present. I'm giving you my future. You got my sins. You got my hopes. You got my worries. You got my heartaches. You got my sorrows. You got it all. Just take it. And the Bible says when we do that in faith, that the old has passed away and all things become new, and I am sealed with the Spirit of God. And if you've never done that right now, this is your time. It's your time. It's time to get serious about things. And that's where you start. But believers, I don't know what Corey's about to do. This is one thing about Corey is nothing's ever rehearsed. If you need to get serious about God, go ring that bell. And if you need to talk to somebody, there's an area right through here called the Belong area, and our guys want to talk to you. Whatever your need is, you can do that. But you know what, guys? It doesn't stop with that. Anybody else? We got all day. We figured we were going to go long because Corey was talking. Come on. We're still waiting. Come on. We're still waiting. I'm in no hurry.
God is good!
All the time!
All the time!
God is good!
Hey, if you weren't sure about the bell thing, you can be sure about the belonging thing. Go over there and talk to our guys. They want to talk to you. They want to help you. And listen, this is where we start, but this is not where we wind up. And giving your life to Jesus is the beginning, but God wants to use your life. We got to do it together. Yes. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this time, for your Spirit just being in this place, calling people to yourself. I thank you for these men and your anointing over this ministry. And Father, I pray that they would become infectious in every relationship of their life, that you would continue to do what you've begun here today. And we'll glorify you. Father, for those that are still holding on, help them to realize they can ring this bell, they can hit the belonging area, but whatever it is that they need to do business with you before we leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our hope is that this message has encouraged you to seek Christ in your own life and make Him known wherever you are. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.